guys are brothers. They're better men than women.
Serve a God who has given us a great example. You know, he's come down in the flesh. He was born. He lived here, you know, 33 years, and he got a group of guys together, and he went out, and he hit the road, and he preached, and he gave a good example, and he expects us to follow that example. And I want to just read a few verses here and then talk about some things about Christ and this part here in chapter 9 in verse 51. It says, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem." You know, the first thing I want to talk about, and the word that caught my mind as I was trying to figure out what I wanted to what my last message, you know, was going to be, and it's that word steadfastly. You know, if you look it up, it means a fixed direction, a firm purpose, firmly established. It's firmly fixed, and it's something that's a steady work, a steady job. You know, this is what, if you look at the chapter and you look what's going on, Christ had, I mean, he knew from the very beginning what exactly why he came here. You know, he didn't come to give us a better life, but thank God he did. You know, and by a better life, I'm talking about riches and no troubles and everything that we would probably, our flesh would say, that is a good life. But you know, he truly has given us a good life. You know, I mean, he's given us, he's blessed me and he's blessed you more than you can, more than I could have imagined. You know, I mean, hey, man, I'm all for eating healthy. You know, we just might be going through the tribulation. I don't know. I'm just storing some up. But you know, the first thing I thought about Christ is and the mindset that we should have is his perception. You know, you think about and some things that God tells us to do I mean, truly, we have the Bible and we're reading it, and you know, the responses that he gets are incredible on some things that he asks to do. You know, like over there in Luke, where he tells his disciples, he says, "You're going to go into this village, and there's going to be a colt tied up." You know? And you're going to go over there and you're going to grab that colt, and if anybody asks you what you're doing, you just tell them, "The Lord hath need." Right? I mean, that's crazy. But you know, he said that because he was going to fulfill a prophecy. It's going to happen. If God said it, it's going to happen. You know, and I'm sure that these disciples didn't put two and two together. You know, it's like, really? I'm going to go and get a colt that's not mine? It's never been used? And they're just going to let me take it? Well, you know, God sees the big picture. God knows exactly what's happening. When he is on his way to Jerusalem, and he steadfastly set his face, the Bible says, to Jerusalem. This place, I mean, he wasn't going to show up at Jerusalem and say, "Well, I wonder what bad things are going to happen to me there." He knew exactly what was going to happen to him there. He knew the people. He knew he preached the streets there. He knew the class of people that were going to be waiting for him. But you know, he had a goal. He had a vision. He had a certain perception, and it was a clear perception. There's things that God tells you to do, and I mean, another example here in this chapter, where Jesus is talking to the multitude, and the disciples say, "Hey, send these guys away. They're getting hungry, and then they want us to feed them. It ain't going to happen." And Jesus says, "Feed them." I mean, that's crazy. What do you mean, feed them? How are we going to do this? We only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But man, when you have God in the mix, you know, when you have God right there, I mean, there's nothing impossible for God. And we know what happened. 5,000 men, they all ate. They took up food after everyone ate. I'm telling you, we read this now, and we even come to the spot where we say, you know what? What little faith these guys had. I mean, Jesus was there. Come on. But I mean, imagine, put yourself right there in that day. You know, it's just like saying, "God, send another family to Mexico." You're thinking, "Oh, wait a minute. How are we going to do that? Send another family to Poland." Well, how are we going to do that? You know, we think about, "God, save more people." Well, I guarantee you, if you talk to the pastors, a group this size, it's hard to pastor a church. You put more people in this building and you fill up all these chairs, it's going to be that much harder. How are we going to do it? You know, the advice we have to give. You know, if we struggle with the problems that we do have right now, but you know what? We are missing something. God is in the mix. I think when we look at this, this is the kind of mindset we need to have, where he set his face to Jerusalem. It didn't matter the obstacles that he was going to run into. Angry people, you know? A place of I mean, these people were doomed, period. They didn't want to listen to him. Many of those people probably died in their sins. I mean, how many people got saved when Jesus got crucified? I can just think of one. And he was one of the guys that got crucified. The rest were there just mocking him and laughing and just joining in. And this one this one malefactor, this one person hanging on the cross, got witnessed to by all the shameful things they were saying about Christ. And he believed. But see, Jesus knew all that. And that didn't deter him. He was going to go. He had something to do. Well, you know, I think about us. I think that's exactly how we need to be thinking. You know? Jerusalem. What does it say over there in Jerusalem? In Psalms 48:2, it says, and we have a song in our sin book, Beautiful for Situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. That was Jerusalem. You know, you and I, we need to understand that the reason why he went to Jerusalem, the reason why he went to the cross, the reason why he gave his life, is because the great king is worth it. He came to save. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He was steadfastly. His face was upon that tremendous work. And he wasn't going to let anything deter him. And again, I know thoughts pop in our head, but he's God. Well, yeah, he's God, but he was also a man. He also bled like you and I bleed. You know, when I think about not only all the people that opposed him and all the people that were against him and the place where he was going, that is the city of this great king, and he had that in his mind. But I also think when I think about the mindset that we should have is the discernment, the understanding that we should have to finish this job. You know? I mean, it says over there in the verse, it says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He said when the time came that he should be received up. You know, I think that was probably one of the things that helped him finish his course. I mean, you can look at the dire position he was going to be put in, suffering, bleeding, being ridiculed, being given up by one of the guys he lived with for 3.5 years. All this happened to him, and yet you can say, "Wow, how did he finish?" I mean, it's just all bad news. But you know what I think he was thinking also? I'm going to be received up. See, I'm not only going to die, but I'm going to be raised. Well, you know, you and I, we go through this life, and yeah, it's been said at night, and I think several times, we're getting older, and things, and this is just that life happens, right? But you know, when we finish our work here, you know, I want to go out. I would love to go out like my father-in-law went out. You know, that would be a good way to go out. I mean, minus the pain. You know, minus the struggle there the last few months. I don't want that. You know, but I'm talking about the point where he said, "Wow, I'm going to be with the Lord." I mean, he knew it. I mean, it was right there. He could see it. To be in that room with him that day, and as he took his last breath, pain, agony, and then in a split second, poof, all gone. Victory. Well, you know, I think that's exactly how we should be thinking. Man, is it tough working and living like a Christian and doing the right things? Yes. Is there going to be pain? Is there going to be suffering? Is there going to be problems? Yes. But it's not always going to be that way. I mean, thank God we're not always going to have to suffer. Thank God we're not always going to have to struggle. Thank God we're not always going to have to be scratching around.
Amen.
One day, that struggle is going to be over.
Amen.
You know, right now, you have an opportunity right now to fight against sin.
Yes.
Right now is the time to fight against temptation. Right now is the time to do all we can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because once He comes and gets us, once we go to Him, we're not going to have those struggles anymore. You and I need to be, not only have that same perception, but we need to have that discernment that Jesus Christ did. You know, He saw the death and He saw the resurrection. He saw the pain and then He saw the victory. You know? But when we talk about victory, when we talk about what Christ has done for us already, the victory that we have to make sure that we don't get careless. You know? I mean, seriously. And I think this goes with anything that we do. If we know it's a wrap, sometimes we think, I can back off a little bit. And we know how this book ends. We know God has the victory. We are overcomers. We have overcome already. We're winners.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. We know how this is going to finish up. And because we know we're on the winning side, because we know that Christ has already done all for us, we might have a tendency of saying, you know, I've done almost enough. I'm at a good spot. Let me just back off a little bit. Well, you know, that didn't happen with Christ. Christ understood. He saw the big picture. He had discernment and saying, you know what? The victory's won. I'm going to get raised. I am going to raise myself. Death isn't going to hold me. Right? The third day, and how many times and the disciples, the people are going, man, what is he talking about? You know, dying and then, you know, raising the third day. And they talk about that seed, if the seed doesn't die. I mean, what are these things? These are like, you know, words we don't understand. But he knew exactly what he was talking about. It says there in verse 53, it says these people didn't receive him. The Samaritans didn't receive him. Right? They didn't want him. Why? It says there, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. They did not want him there. But you know what? It's amazing to me because you have the disciples there, and when they see that they're not receiving Christ like they should, what do they want? Can we call lightning and fall and just consume these guys? I mean, these guys are some bad people. Can you imagine that? You know, Christ did not rebuke the people. He didn't sit down and say, look, you know, you don't understand this. I know I have my face set like I'm going to Jerusalem, but I'm going to send some witnesses. Didn't he say that over there in Acts 1? Didn't he tell the disciples in Acts 1:8, you'll be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem, right? In Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. I mean, the gospel was going to get back there, but they didn't understand that. And he didn't bother to sit down and say, let me explain this to you. He just kept on going. But now his disciples, he rebuked them. He says, don't you know what kind of spirit? You know? He says there in verse 55, but he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. You know, he rebuked them because they had a bad spirit. We need to understand, church, that our perception needs to be like Christ. We need to have that same mindset as Christ. We need to have that same discernment that what we're doing here really matters. Being a Christian really matters. I mean, living Christ-like really matters. Last night someone said, if you're not living for Christ, I mean, you're just not living. You're not living for nothing. The only thing that matters is Christ. You know, the last thing I see here is, and this is what I want to talk about. This is what I want to look at. And it's verse 57. His attitude towards our mindset. Verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, and go. I'm sorry, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, that first part, that answer, when the guy said, I'll go with you wherever you go. And he tells them, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know what what mindset that he wants you to have? He wants us to be separated. There should be absolutely nothing in our lives that prevents us from progress. We need to think, and we need to say, we need to have more churches established in Poland. How are they going to do it? They need to finish that Bible project. How are they going to do it? They need to be more preachers on the streets in Mexico, more churches. They need to be more work done here in San Antonio. Look, each of us, where we're at, it's our Jerusalem. We need to have our face set on our Jerusalem. Just like Christ did. He had a work. He came here and he had something to do. But what's your Jerusalem? You know, you need to remove. You need not allow something. You need to be careful not to allow something in your life that hinders you from going with Christ to Jerusalem. In verse 60, when he says, man, let me go back and take care of my dad. I mean, you know, that's important too, right? You read commentators, you know, talk about this, and I tend to agree with what they say about his dad was probably not dead. He was probably an aged man, probably a sick man. And so what he was saying was, I'm going to take care of him, and when he finally does die, and I bury him, then I'll be free. Right? Well, look, we all have responsibilities. We all have things that are important, and things that we need to get done. But let me tell you, we shouldn't have a relationship more important than God. And I think that is exactly what he's talking about. You know? And look, I'm not going to say this because I want you to feel sorry for me, because don't feel sorry for me. But you know, I've been in Mexico a long time now. I mean, when I went to Mexico, you know, I left and
My mother and my father were left here. On the field, when I'm working and coming back and visiting, I guarantee you I would have visited my parents more often had I lived here. I would have. I mean, it's just 4 hours south. I would have visited them more often if I was still here. Well, you know, I buried my dad working in Mexico. I mean, things happen. But one thing I understood is a relationship or your job or the people around you should not be more important than what God wants you to do. I mean, Christ it's not like he didn't have sympathy. When he said, let the dead bury the dead, he wasn't being mean. What he was trying to get across was, there's something very much more important. And that's doing the will of God. And then the last thing he says here, in 62, he says, talking about the person that puts his hand to the plow and he looks back. What about regrets? You know? People persuading you to not go or not keep walking with God. You know, we need to change our mind. We need to change our heart. This is the way we should be thinking. Our mindset should, the way we think, our mindset should be that everywhere we live, everywhere we're at, is our Jerusalem. And this is exactly, you are at the right spot where God wants you to continue working. If he wants you to go somewhere else, you need to obey that too. If he wants you to do something else, you need to do that. The question today is, who's with him? Who's gonna follow him? Who's gonna put their cares aside or their responsibilities on the back burner or other things that are probably all important too? Because I guarantee you, it was very needful for Christ to hang around longer. It was very needful for him to spend probably a little bit more time, more years there with them. But you know what? There comes a time where you have to go. You know, just like every city that I've been in. I mean, the thought, it's so tough to leave because you get to a point where you're even comfortable there. You know? It's very nice where you're at. And to go to another city and start to work again, it's getting less and less tempting. You know? Just because it's hard. Meeting in a mall and people walking by and you're that's a sight. I want to see that. At least I'm in a park and there's more people around, even though they're not there. But it looks a little bit better, I think, compared to that. You know, we need to put those things aside. Suffer hardships and all these things. Who's going to suffer this? Who's going to conquer the pain and the suffering to do exactly what God wants us to do? You know, and to be all honest about this, it'd be much easier to do something else. It would have been much easier for Christ to say, you know what, I'm not going to Jerusalem. I'll do something else. But you know, he didn't take the easy way out. And God saved you and put you in this church, put you part of this assembly, gave you a responsibility, it'd be much easier just to ignore your responsibility, ignore your Jerusalem, ignore the fact that we need to have that discernment, have that perception that Christ had, and have that attitude that Christ had. Not to put anything before him. Do exactly what he wants us to do. Oh, I just pray to God that this mindset that Christ had set his face on Jerusalem that we could either continue having that, or we need to change it. And we need to follow Christ and follow that Jerusalem. Amen?